a get is not given at 12 chodesh. Ve'ein la mezonot kol shlosh 12 chodesh. She's not entitled to financial support during this 12-month period. Ve'meita kodem a get ba'ala yosha. Kaseida haza osim la emorda kedei letza'aro. Ve'afilu hayta nida o chola she'ena ra'uya letashmish. Ve'afilu haya ba'ala malach she'natol l'shenesh l'shisha chadashim. Ve'afilu yesh lo isha acher. Even if their woman otherwise would not be capable of sexual intercourse, or even if a husband was a sailor who only comes home once every 6 months, or even if a husband has another wife so he has some other form of sexual outlet, nevertheless, this rule applies. V'chein avusa she'yiyaz manah li'nasei u'morda k'dei l'tza'aro v'nisei t'reizu mogedet mitashmish v'chein yivama she'lo ratzla li'tyalem k'l'tza'aro k'sei r'azeh u'zilma. Hamoredet hazor, k'she'hi yotzeit achar 12 chodesh v'lo k'tuba. This woman who is divorced after 12 months without her ketuvah, tachzir kol davar shehu shel ba'al. She returns all of the property that belongs to the husband. Aval mechasim shech nisalo uvalotem kayamim im tafsa ein motziim yada im tafsan haba'al ein motziim yada. Those properties which she brought in, or the various used articles of clothing from her dowry, if she has seized them, they don't take them away from her, but if the husband has managed to gain possession, then the court doesn't take it away from him either. So again, this is a reversion from the Gaonic doctrine back to the Talmudic doctrine. V'chein, kol ma she'ibeid min chaseha she'kibel haba'al achayut alav eino meshalem laklom. Any matter that the husband took responsibility for, in other words, in Ekseit Son Barzel, for example, the husband is not obligated to repay. Zuhi hadin ha-Talmud b'moredet. This is the Talmudic law as far as the rebellious wife is concerned. V'yamru ha-ga'onim she'yesh lehem b'bavel min ha-got ha-cheger b'moredet. The ga'onim claim that they in Bavel have different rules as far as moredet is concerned. V'lo pashtu otan ha-min ha-got b'rov Yisrael. But those rules did not become widespread in all of Israel. V'rabim u'gdolim cholkim aleihem b'rov ha-mukomot. And many great scholars disagree with this in many places. Uvedin haTalmud ra'ui letzvos v'ladin. And therefore, we should accept the law of the Talmud and reject the Gaonic position. So the Rambam has reverted to Talmudic law, but he retains the rule that if a woman claims that her husband is hateful to her, at least he is compelled to give a divorce. Okay, so I've gathered a number of other places where the Rambam rejects the various takanot of the Gaonim. We'll come back to them if we have time later, but let's stick with this case of the divorce and see how the Rush deals with this. So let's turn to the end of the Rambam. Right after my quotes from the Rambam, I have a Tshuva of the Rush. Right, the first of the Tshuva, it's printed slightly differently. Tshuva. Al inyan ha'isha ha'ktuva le'el. Hacham Rav Yaakov al-Fasi, Tshuvato al inyan no'redet, Ein adam tzarich imlech, Ki ha'chachrat nutinat ha'get. Ra'iti l'rabotenu chachmei Ashkenaz v'tzofat, מתרחקים עד הקצה האחרון מכל מיני הכרחות קביעת האיש לגרש בעסק מבידת האישה. I have seen, in other words, the Rif also agrees that the husband is compelled to give a divorce, like Rambam was following the Rif in this. And now the Rush writes that the opinion of the Ashkenaz, of the German and the French rabbis have been poles apart from the opinion of the Rif. Ki nireh lahem devrei Rabbeinu Tam Zal v'ra'ayotav ikarim v'ra'ui l'smoch aleihem. And Rabbeinu Tam's position on this matter is valid. Let me just quickly, I didn't reproduce this, but let me quickly quote Rabbeinu Tam here. Umasha katav Rabbeinu Shmuel, this is a letter that Rabbeinu Tam wrote to a certain Rav Shmuel, I don't know who it is in Paris. Sheteknu ha-ga'onim de lo mashehin an treis ayar fi shata, agita elokofinoto, that you don't wait 12 months, but rather force the husband to give a get immediately. Chalina lo rabenu laharvot mamzerim b'Yisrael. It is chas v'shalom that we should increase the number of mamzerim in Yisrael. Okay. The kaimalan, because we are of the opinion of Rabina v'Rav Ashi sofavara, that Rabina and Rav Ashi were the last of the halachic, the sources of halachic responsibility. Unehi dehagaonim yecholim l'taken ketubat isha al hamataltalin, whereas the gaonim can enact a certain piece of legislation as far as the monetary settlement of the divorce is concerned, whether the woman can collect from movable items as in addition to property. O al pi halacha, o al pi daitam, dehayu mamona, because on a matter of monetary problems, the court has authority. Aval lahatir get pasul ein koach biyadenu mimot ravashi ad gimot hamashiach. But on a matter of legitimating a invalid get, we don't have any right to do this from the time of Rav Ashi until the advent of the Messiah. The zeh get pasul, and this is an invalid get. She'anu shaninu b'talmud she'ein kofin ad treit dayat ishata v'heim iktibu terem din fiat haget pasul apil yom arotza ani. And then it goes on further that even after the 12-month period, okay, let's now go back to the rush that I did reproduce for you. V'ayotel v'ikarim v'ruy l'smoch aleihem v'yap v'atim hayu advarim mufra'im tzarich adam l'arachik misafek eshet ish u'milaharvot mamzerim b'Yisrael. One should refrain from causing doubts about a woman's marital status and increasing the number of bastards in Israel. Ve'im ra'u b'dorot sh'ayu achrei ha'gmara b'yumei ha'gaonim zal v'yishivot shel bavel sh'ayat tzarich tzorech sh'a b'yumeihem lahasiyah al divrei Torah v'alasur geder u'siyag. If the gaonim saw fit in the yeshivot in Bavel to temporarily, as an emergency measure, make changes in the law and introduce various offenses, v'teknushi gareshet ishto ba'al kocho, kishihi omeret lo be'ina le'legaboy. If when a woman says, I do not want my husband anymore, they would compel the husband to issue a divorce, kidei shelo titla atzma b'kuti, in order that the woman should not depend upon the non-Jews, v'teitzena b'not Yisrael etarbut ra'ah, and that Jewish daughters would go out to an evil culture. And they relied on this, on the principle that all marriages are made contingent upon the rabbi's opinion. And therefore they, the Rosh is giving you an explanation of how they could enforce a compelled divorce, because on the theory that they were annulling the marriage retroactively, and therefore they had the right to compel a divorce on that basis. This enactment did not gain acceptance in all the lands. And even those places which do compel a divorce didn't do it because of on the basis of the enactment of the Gaonim. So he's making a claim that even those communities which had the practice of compelling a divorce did not do it on the basis of Gaonic enactments. So here's another illustration, the third that I've brought so far, where the Rishonim, rebelling against Gaonic authority, used the phrase Rabina Rav Ashi Sofara to give it an ideological content that it never originally had, and certainly one that the Gaonim did not attach to it, in order to invalidate their takam. Kagon shebisha'a shetiknu ha-gaonim et ha-tarna ששליחוה לאותן המקומות וקיבלו אותן להם, ואם כן, כי היה דבר דו על פי הקבלה, דור אחר דור. היי קיבלו תקנה זו עליהם בציווי הגאונים, כי תקנה קבוע כזו, אם קיבלו עליהם, לא הייתה עומדת לשכח מפי דורת הבאים. He says that had those communities which compelled the divorce done so on the basis of a Gaonic enactment, they would have had a tradition which said that it was done on the basis of a Gaonic enactment. דוגמה לדבר, Chacham echad haya ba'artzeinu. There was a wise man in our land, Shraya Shmur Rabbeinu Gershom, tiken takanot tovot v'inyan gerushin, v'haya b'imei ha-gaonim zal. He was contemporary with some of the gaonim. V'tiknu v'takanotav u'gzerotav k'vuot u'tkuot ke'ilu natnu mi Sinai. And his enactments were accepted as if they were given at Mount Sinai. Bishvil shekiblu ma'elem u'masrum ledor ledor. Ela ani ro'eh shebe'elu haratzov. Rov higionom b'sifrei Rav Zal v'isha'u k'fiya zu k'tuva b'halachot. V'nagu here in Toledo, since they rely on the decisions of the Rif, v'nagu b'yesh mekamot ladun. Kach, they followed his custom. V'od ani omer, שהגאונים שתקנו תקנה זו, the gaonim who enacted this piece of legislation, תקנו לפי הדור ההוא, enacted it only according to the needs of that particular generation, שהיה נראה להם לפי צורך השעה בשביל בנות ישראל. They thought that it was necessary because of the practices of the daughters of Israel.
I think it's 300
feet. Right. You're perfectly right. The Rush is not exactly giving you an accurate historical survey of what happened. Va'idna, nowadays he writes, Nir'ah inyan lehepech. V'not Yisrael b'dor hazeh shachtzaniot hem. The daughters of Israel in our generation are, how do you translate shachtzaniot?
Arrogant.
Im tuchala isha la'kiyat atzma mitachat ba'ala, if a woman can escape from her marriage, ba'amra lo ba'ina lev, saying that she doesn't like her husband, lo hinachta ba'la Avraham avino yosheva tachat ba'ala, no marriage will survive. Be it nu einehem ba'acher, they will become, they'll fall in love with somebody else, v'yimurduba ba'alehem. Al kein tov la'achik ha'kfiya, okay. Therefore, it's advisable to eliminate all compulsion in divorce. V'yoter ha'teimah ha'gadol al ha'rambam zal shekatav she'im ra'ah, she'im amra ma'astihu ve'eini yecholah li'ba'el o mida'ati, kofin oto l'sha'ato l'garesh, l'fi she'kishe'ena kishmuya she'tibiyel l'sanuila.
It's even the Rambam is too liberal.
Even the Rambam is too liberal. U'mana tinat ha'tam l'kuf ha'ish l'garesh l'hatir ha'ishetish, לא תיבאה לו ותוצרה אלמנות חיות כל ימי חייה, הלא אינה מצווה על פריה וריבה, וכי בשביל שהיא הולכת אחרי שרירות ליבה ונתנה עיניה באחר וחפצה ביותר, בו יותר מבכל מבעל מעוריה עוד שצא, נשלים תאוותה ונקוף האיש שהוא אוהד אשת נעוריו שיגשנה. Just because she's managed to fall in love with somebody else and no longer loves her husband, we are going to compel this man who has been in love with his wife since childhood to issue a divorce. Chalila v'chas, l'shum dayan l'dunke. Rabbi Meir Zalz, from Meir Meir Rutenberg, his teacher, v'iskei moredet v'inyan ha'mamon, haya v'din d'matifta, sh'yitnu l'isha kol ma'shech nisa, ava lo haya kofa l'garesh. He would kofa l'garesh. He would not enforce a divorce. וקודם שיחזירו לו מה שהכניס לו היה מצווה להחרים את שום אדם אם שום אדם הסיע עצה זו. If any man advised this woman to behave in such a way כדי להוציא מיד בעלה מה שהכניס לו, וכשהיא נראה לה שישם המובדה לו היה מצווה להחזיר אפילו מה שהכניס לו, ולא ידן כלל דין במאיס עליי. He would not at all follow the Rambam's ruling, which says that when a woman claims that she hates her husband, that im lo shetiten amatla ledvareha lama eino mekubal ala, she has to give a sound reason why the husband is no longer acceptable to her. Osho in bo shehu machaleha mamon, if he's a wasteful, he's spending wasting all the money, that's a valid reason for a woman to demand a divorce. או היה מצווה להחזיר לה מה שהכניסה לו, בדברה ונמצאת בכל שכן לעניין קביעת הגירושין, ויש לחוש לאומר למדינת הנהר באחר, etc. etc. So the long and the short of this matter is that the Rambam rejected the main enactments of the Gaonim, namely compel an immediate divorce and the woman retains the rights to her dowry and to the manah and matayim, but still maintained the principle that a woman can't be forced to live with a husband who she finds hateful, and therefore the community does compel a divorce. The Rush and Rabbeinu Tam went further and found the Rambam's position too extreme, and therefore a man is not compelled, according to the Ashkenazic authorities, to issue a divorce under any circumstances other than one that the court itself sees as a valid, compelling reason, such as the cases that are listed in the Gemara or other reasons that might become acceptable to the courts. So here we have a good illustration of the question that Mr. Weinstein asked last week on this issue of Rabina v'Ravashi Sofara. Rabina Ravashi Sofara, which was originally simply a historical statement about the loss of Jewish autonomy for a short period of time from the point of view of history, for 100 maybe or 100 and some odd years until the advent of Islam, when Jewish autonomy was completely returned, was taken both by the Rambam and by the Ashkenazic authorities to mean that the Gaonim had no right whatsoever to enact legislation which contradicted Talmudic law, and therefore the 300 or more year practice, which was widespread under the entire area which was under the authority of the Yeshivot and Batal, which included all of the Jewish communities under Islamic rule, which was the bulk of the Jewish population at that time, wherein a husband could be compelled by his wife to issue a divorce, and a woman receives the minimum of a ketuvah and the property that she brought in, all of these issues were revoked on this ideological principle of Rabino Ravashi Sokoro. Now, which is the horse and which is the cart here, I will leave to you to decide. It seems to me that the fact that the later Rishonim felt that they wanted to go against the Gaonic authority may have been the compelling reason to read into Rabino Ravashi Sofara something that it never originally meant. As I said, in our days, the phrase Rabino Ravashi Sofara has achieved a meaning which went far beyond even that intended by the Rush or Rabbeinu Tam or the Rambam, namely that not the Rambam at least gives a sociological explanation. Rabbeinu and Ravashi was the end of the time of Allah, because after that period there was no central authority which had command over the entire Jewish population. That at least is possibly true. It is probably not true, but I think that it's pretty clear from what we know from the Geniza that the authority of the Gaonim, someone like Rav Haigon, was at least as widespread as the authority of the rabbis in the Talmudic period, which after all were limited to Babel and did not include Eretz Yisrael or places like that, especially when there was a major state of war between the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. But whether or not it's true, it had at least a sociological explanation, according to the Rambam. There was no theological explanation. In our time, the phrase Rabina Ravashi Sofara has acquired a theological meaning, namely that the right to interpret biblical law, what is the Din D'Oraisa, the crystallization of a halacha, was given for a 2,000-year period, remember, says the Chazon Ish, up until the time of Rabina and Ravashi, so that therefore anything that was stated in the Talmud as a matter of law has the status very frequently of biblical law, but Din D'Oraita, because only they were authorized. It was foreseen on Mount Sinai that only until the time of Rabina and Ravashi was this right to interpret the law granted. This, of course, as we've mentioned many times, has led to various indefensible ideological positions, because a consequence of this is that if this idea of interpretation is something which is theologically based, you have to have as a corollary that in matters of fact, the Talmudic scholars were infallible. In other words, if it's a matter of legislation, as the Rambam says, well, they had some rulings which they were able to make. But if, for example, to decide whether an animal is kosher or treif because of a particular wound depends upon the rabbinical understanding of the laws of veterinary medicine at that time, and if indeed this makes the decision as to whether something is kosher or treif, obviously they cannot make any mistake in veterinary medicine. Therefore, as we've seen, the whole notion has been induced that science has not advanced, but rather the state of nature has changed, and whatever statements were made by the rabbis, even scientific ones, which form the basis of the halacha, are correct. So, yes.
He mentioned to us, he chacham echad had that day in Shmoy with him Gershom.
Yes.
And he had some to come up and gave us.
Right. A woman cannot be divorced against her will, for example.
So he agreed with him Gershom.
Rabbeinu Gershom made a number of very important takanot, most of them to the benefit of the woman. But on the, so this is not a completely one-sided picture. The most famous of Rabbeinu Gershom's takanot is, of course, the law against polygamy. But remember, the Rush is writing this in already when he has moved to Spain, where Rabbeinu Gershom's takanot were not...
I thought they had been written down for 2 or 3 years later that they had first mentioned.
Let's not go into that. The fact of the matter is that in writing this, the Rush has to be writing as if the people whom, to whom he is writing don't particularly know all that well who Rabbeinu Gershom is. Had he been writing this to an Ashkenazic or a French authority, he would not have had to say that we had a well-known scholar whose name was Rabbeinu Gershom.
How far would you think Rabbeinu Gershom would have gone? Who would have said a marriage between an Ashkenazic person to a family which had half divorced on the basis?
No, Rabbeinu Tam was very careful. The situation has deteriorated very far since the time of Rabbeinu Tam. I mean, Rabbeinu Tam at least was consistent in the sense that he outlawed any questioning of a local court's divorce. If a court in some town issues a divorce, someone from another town can't now come and claim that this particular divorce is invalid.
It's my subjective.
Yeah, so Rabbeinu Tam was very strict about the finality of a divorce. In the course of time, even that has been challenged in the famous Kli Get procedure where the issue of the sanity of the husband came into play. And the situation that we're in today is just absolutely horrendous because whereas from the time, at the time of the Gaonim, what we saw that Rabbi Shura Gaon was writing, the courts were responsive to the pressures coming from the women themselves. They saw that the women were about to rebel, so we better enact some piece of legislation which will bring the right of the woman, at least as far as compelling a divorce is concerned, up to the level of the right of men. That was because the courts saw themselves as getting their sense of authority from the communities which were they were judging. On present-day circumstances, it's very hard to know to whom a given individual rav who has to pass the neshayla feels responsible. In many situations, for example, a bet din in the United States, even what you might call a liberal bet din in the United States, would never dare to do something which would be challenged by the rabbinical courts, by the rabbanut in Israel. For example. I mean, I've had cases of where one had an issue of a conversion, and I wanted to rely on some heterin of Shlomo Kluger, who was not exactly the most liberal posek of the 19th century, but when the potential convert came before one of the OU courts, they wouldn't touch the case. I managed to eventually get it resolved by going to a Satmara court, which didn't feel threatened by the courts in Israel. But the situation is that in current times there's such a complete anarchy within the rabbinical court system because every rav is looking over his shoulder to the right to make sure that his legitimacy is not questioned on the one hand, and on the other hand he's able to look over his shoulder to the left and feel that after all, if I come down stringently in this case, the poor woman, if she's in extremis, at least can go to a court which is less strict than I am. So therefore, why do I have to bend the rules or make some kind of adjudication? Maybe, all right, if she's really in an extremely difficult situation, she'll go to a conservative rabbi and get the matter settled. So therefore, by my being strict, I am not causing absolutely impossible hardship. So the situation of a woman today is far worse than it was even in the time of Rabbeinu Tam. I think it's safe to say that in this matter of compelling the husband to give a divorce, there's been a steady deterioration from the time of the Gaonim, ending with Rav Shira Gaon, from Rav Shira Gaon to the Rif, from the Rif to the Rambam, from the Rambam to the Rush, and then from Rabbeinu Tam and the Rush, and steadily down to the period that we have today, and it's a disaster. Well, I would assume that when Rav Shira Gaon is reporting that the Talmudic law was too rigid and that the women would find some means of subverting the law by family compulsions, he's referring to real cases. When the Rush is saying what he is saying, I think that it is probably true that he was shocked by the much looser morality in Spain than had existed in Toledo. Was a far looser place than Ashkenaz or Tzofat. So the places where he came from, which were Germany, for example, were under much stricter religious and Jewish or non-Jewish, as the Sefer Hasidim says, that the, as loosely translated into Yiddish, "Vis Christel Zachas Oris Yiddel Zach," that is, the morality of the Jewish community is very strongly influenced by what the morality of the ambient culture is, and there's no doubt that in Spain things were far looser sexually than they were, say, in Germany during this period. So the answer to your question is complicated. I would say that the Gaonim were acting in response to a real situation, and whereas the Rush was bringing in some combination of his rejection of Gaonic authority on the one hand by Rabbeinu Tam, plus his state of shock of having moved from Germany to Spain, and therefore assuming that no marriage would survive if you employed the Gaonic authority, the Gaonic position. Yes?
What's responsible for this? At least, I mean, you get some explanation for what's happened, now, but why this issue? I mean, they could have gone against Gaonic regulation in many other ways. Why?
But this is not, let's go through various different situations in which the Rambam goes against Gaonic authority.
So you think this is a rejection of Gaonic authority which manifests itself in the case
right.
of divorce, rather than some kind of...
Well, it's a mix of the two.
So why the steady deterioration in women's status from the...
I think that there was a steady deterioration because of the piety of returning to Talmudic law. I mean, the usual situation in which there's a revolt against tradition expresses itself in a reversion to the more, to the purer form, right? I mean, Luther's revolt against the church consisted in reestablishing the Bible as the source of authority instead of the chain of command of the popes. And a similar thing was happening here. So it's one way of establishing your own rule. Remember, the Rambam wasn't on such great terms with the leadership of the courts in Babylonia, in Baghdad, and eventually, of course, he took over forcefully. So yes, on the one hand, I think there's this rebellion against the Gaonic authority, namely simply to establish your own independent status. And secondly, and that manifests itself in reversion to the form of what it actually says in the Gemara, and it may be combined with some deterioration in the rights and roles of women in society, as they expressed itself in the European countries. What's happened in recent times, of course, is a disaster as a consequence of the breakdown of rabbinical authority altogether, and the notion that somehow or other religion is a voluntary phenomenon. To the extent that you can choose or not choose to be an observant Jew or belong to a certain community or not, the rabbi has no is not under any pressure from the forces of society as a whole, which would normally evoke some response.
Maybe we discussed this,
right.
Has that got something to do with Smyrna? The official continuance of Smyrna?
Well, it's certainly a related issue. It's certainly a related issue. But remember, the smicha as it existed officially from the patriarch in Israel had come to an end before Rabbeinu and Ravash. So this was whatever authority they had did not derive from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. But it is true that Sofara meant that the Resh Galuta ceased to exist as an institution, the Exilarch ceased to exist as an institution, and therefore no Jewish judge had an official appointment from anybody, and therefore his rulings no longer had the force had the capability of being enforced by the state or by the Jewish community, because there was a loss of Jewish autonomy. To what extent that loss of authorization from the Resh Galuta translates itself into the ability or lack of ability to legislate for the generation, that's a much more problematic matter.
So
the smicha that we have has nothing to do with this, but the question is whether the ability of the Gaonim to legislate was or was not efficacious. And the Rambam claims that the Gaonim, the ruling of the Gaonim in this matter is not valid.
And you thought that their authority is not what it was before Rabbeinu Ravashi.
That's right. That's right. That's what he thought. But in fact, Rabbeinu and Ravashi were not the last people to write in the Gemara, and it's quite likely that the phrase Rabbeinu and Ravashi, Sofara, had an entirely different meaning than the one that was attributed to it by the Rambam. So let's look at some other examples of where the Rambam rejects.
Hardly the Rambam doesn't seem to feel that the status of the Bahari after Smicha ending is any different from the way it's more general ideological feelings to take the Bahari in every generation.
Have that right, if they're representative of the entire community. Tiknu ha-ga'onim, let's go back to the Rambam. B'chol ha-yeshivot, she-tehiyeh ha-isha govaktu vata acharei mot ba'ala af min ha-metalkalim. Kederach she-tkinu lo-ba'al chov l'gvot min ha-metalkalim. The Gaonim enacted a piece of legislation that a woman should be able to collect her ketubah from portable goods, just as they enacted also a piece of legislation that a Baal Chov has a lien on portable properties.
Unlike Karka, which would be the only.
Unlike the Talmudic period, in which Karka was the only place in which there was a lien. And of course, the reason for this is one that we said before, namely that Jews shifted in the main their commercial activities from being landowners and working the land into various other forms of commercial activity, where the main parts of their wealth would then consist of portable property, of movables, and not of real estate. V'chein sh'ar t'nai k'tuvah kulan k'tuvah hein v'yeshnan v'metalten v'karka chutz m'k'tuvah panin dichrin sh'lo matzinu min hagiru sh'ata pashut b'chali u yeshivot, except for the various rules according of inheritance of her children as opposed to going into the general pool. L'kikach, ani omer, therefore I say, what the therefore means is not so clear. L'kikach, ani omer, ma'amidin ota al din ha-talmud she'en yoshin k'tuvat iman ela min ha-kav, that they only inherit from the lien on their property. Kvar nahagu b'chol ha-mukamot sh'yadanu v'sh'shamanu sh'man sh'yichtavu b'ktuva b'en min ka'okrili b'en min metalfuri. In all the places that I know, it's explicitly stated as a clause in the ketubah that it's collectible both from land and from movable property. But davar ze tikun gadol, this is a major improvement. Anashim gadolim u'ribonim hinhigu davar ze, and great scholars introduced this language in the ketubah. Shaharei ze t'nai shebamamon, because this is simply a monetary clause, then it says shahalmana gova min amakaltonin betnai ze, and therefore a woman will collect from portable property according to this clause, lo betakanat achonim, but not on the basis of a piece of legislation of the Gaonim. Harei shelo katav b'shtar haktuva elon nasastam, but suppose such a clause has not been explicitly written into the Ketubah. Im haya yodea b'takana zu shel ha-gaonim gobeh. If he was aware of this piece of legislation of the Gaonim gobeh, he can collect, because this is an implicit clause, even though it wasn't stated explicitly. V'im lav, oshlo nistapek on ha-davar, mit yashvin b'davar zeh ha-beh. Then we have a difficult case. She'ein koach b'takanat ha-gaonim ladun b'ah. The ability of the Gaonim to legislate is not the same as the ability of the Sanhedrin, and therefore we can only collect this kind of money if there's an explicit clause. He does not accept the takanos of the Gaonim.
Are their titles?
Their titles to legislate.
Their rabbis only... would ask
her, sure. Right, the rabbis only would ask you. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's skip to the bottom. Misha Yulo Ma'ot Tikadon Biyara Hever, Sola Shot Shliach Lavian, Ain Hakinan Yadomo Ilbezesh, Ain Matbeyan, if Nebahalifin. Elocate Sano, Tainlo Kalka, Koshu, Matnelo Hamaot, El Gabak, Delo Tien, Bahasha, Zuba, Olek, the Dani Momotian. I told him Maldevia Racher, I know you hold the spell Hasha Alav, Bafilu Hayaha hold the star, Matnesha Maldela, Hutsanitna, Ain Adam Maknela, Havayo, Davasha, and Baola. There can be no market in obligations. The Eilu Dav Shikne Adam Cholba Elba Mamad Shlashtan. The only way in which an indebtedness can be transferred is with the presence of the three together. Vehu Davar She'en Lotam Kino Shuliano Ova Kniyat Hashtar Hakol Batzmo. Bektiba Umesira Mishim Atana Shibut Shabot. Zehu Adin Shirayli Min Hagmara. Aval Gaonim Tiknu Shekod Din Hashaa Af Al Hamalve Kidei Shelo Yitol Kerechad Mamon Chaveiro Veilek Lomdino Acheret. ועוד תקנו שאם הרשו ליטול מעות שיש לו ביד חברו, לקבוע ממנו הובריו, לא הייתה לו מקנה קרקע, מקנה הבאה, עמות מחלקו של ארץ ישראל, ומקנה לו המעות על גבם. So in other words, they enacted a fiction in which the money could be transferred by everyone's four L's that he maintains in Eretz Yisrael. All of us around this table has owned a certain piece of property in Eretz Yisrael, and you can use that for a kinyan agav. ודברים אלו דברים קלין הן עד מאוד. This is very... weak stuff. Uguin, Shazem, Mishi, Yomash, Yeshlo, Kelek, Beretz Yisrael, Vayapilu, Hugaui, and Obel Shuto. After all, that's not real. Bagonim, Atzman, Shetiknu, Takanazu, Amush, Enomim, Yikova, Dinetara, Veno, Elekide, La Ayem, Alanitva, and what's all done with Tembra Shazu, Niftar, Balami Flashes, etc., etc. Vahena, Wishi, Mithlano, Bavai, Tokabeo, Ben Lushtar, Ben Okinaf, Bisha Kafaba, Betin, Kosbinara, and so on and so on. So he's again very dubious about all of these pieces of legislation about by the Gaonim, in particular about the transferability of credit. So this major enactment that we saw at Rav Hai Gaon is also questionable as far as the Rambam is concerned. And similarly, he rejects the collecting debts from movable property. Okay, so I think we've gotten a good picture of what was transpiring. On the one hand, the Gaonim were introducing major pieces of legislation precisely because they were ruling this entire area, not, as the Rambam says, because that they had no rights to legislate because they were local authorities, and there were rebellions across the board in the period of the Rishonim against the rules of the Gaonim and a reversion to the time of the Gemara. Next time we will, Brunetta, take up the Rambam, and we'll spend some time with him, maybe one shiur, maybe two, but next week there's no shiur. It's what is known as Arab Thanksgiving. Right, so the next shiur, Mitzvah Hashem, will be 2 weeks from tonight.